Okay, it's kind of embarrassing how bad I am at budgeting.
Let me see your charges.
Fine.
You spent over $600 on takeout last month.
I can't cook. You know this.
Yes, I have had your disgusting food, but you're literally paying for a meal subscription on top of that.
Whoa, wait. That can't be right.
Look, just get Rocket Money. It shows you all of your expenses in one place and even tracks your subscriptions. And if there's a subscription you don't want, which for you, there are a lot you don't need, you can just cancel right in the app with a few taps.
So you mean I don't have to call anyone to cancel?
Nope. No hold times or anything. And they'll even try to get you a refund on some of the months of wasted money, which is a lot of money for you.
Okay.
And if you thought I was done, I'm not. The app can also help you make a budget that works for your income. Anytime you get close to your spending limits, it alerts you, so you know exactly where your money is going at all times.
All right, I'm in. What do I have to do?
Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel or download the app from the Apple or Google Play stores.
Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on chumbacasino.com. I looked over at the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's chumbacasino.com and live the Chumba life.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Like a sound of a train, because the metal was just ripping through the rock. And instantly, I mean, there wasn't even a second to think. Instantly, the ship completely listed and the water was just rushing in. There was no saving the ship at that point.
That is terrifying.
Yeah, it was. And, you know, even more terrifying is that the captain and crew ended up leaving. We were waiting for announcement. And it ends up that the captain and crew ended up leaving on the only motorized life raft that existed on the boat. So they pretty much left all passengers to die on the ship. Oh, shit. Hold on. Let me turn off my phone. I'm Joanne Mercaldi, friend of Jake Handel. And I guess when I met Jake at a Techstars event, we were introduced and someone had told him a pretty radical story of how I survived one of the worst Greek tragedies in over a century. And you know, it's, you never know. So Jake and I became friends and he never knew the story until we started hanging out a little bit.
This summer, I took the ferry to the vineyard.
Oh.
And I had no issue. but as I was on this ferry.
Yeah.
I just kept thinking about your story and I could not fucking imagine. And then in my circumstances now, I would just definitely go down with the ship unless someone wants to help me. But, you know, I'd be dead.
I'm sure there are plenty of people who would want to help you, Jake.
Just leave them behind.
You never know.
True.
All right. Tell us what. What happened?
You know, I would say, gosh, it was in year 2000, so over 20 years ago. At that time, was buying and selling homes and decided to just put everything in storage and travel Europe on the Eurorail. And so within the first 48 hours, ended up in Athens. And at the time, I was traveling with my boyfriend at the time, now my husband, Roger. And, you know, we had started in Athens and we were going to take the ferries over to explore the Greek islands. And just like everybody does, they do the Greek island hopping and they get on one of those boats right out of the port in Athens and head over. One of the first stops was the island of Paros. Which I think is one of their best islands, I must say. I've been to a lot of them, and I would say Paros, despite the story I'm going to tell you today, still remains one of my favorite islands. So we boarded the ship, and as we were getting on the boat, just noticed it was a little bit of a grime bucket. We were like, how old is everything on this boat? The life rafts were old, but the ship looked massive. There were cars underneath. I think the ship carried hundreds of people. I want to say there was probably about 700 people on the ship, with the cars on the first level. And so it was pretty massive. And it was due to go all the way to Turkey. So, you know, the ship definitely, had a lot of cargo on it, as well as, you know, people and tourists, and locals as well. Just boarded this ship, started checking things out, laughing about, you know, how old some of the things were on the boat. Didn't know that some of those items were going to be used to save a lot of people's lives, but... at the time, we were even doing pull-ups from one of the bars on the ship and, you know, just having a really good time and settled in for what should have been a 4-hour trip.
Damn. Aside from it being a grind bucket,
yeah.
What was the vibe on the boat? Were you having a good time because you were on vacation? Was everyone having a good time? What's going on?
Yeah, you know, there were a lot of, there weren't a lot of tourists on the boat. I must say that. There were a lot of, I think, locals, going from island to island. Not a lot of people spoke English. After this whole ordeal happened, we actually found out there was only about 5 Americans or 6 Americans on the boat in total. So we didn't hear a lot of English on the boat. Everybody was really speaking Greek. So it really felt pretty authentic. There were a lot of elders on the boat, you know, taking, some of the more airplane seats and where, we decided to hang out was more towards the kitchen area to play cards and, get a meal, cause they did have a full kitchen, in the ship as well. And you would think, you know, they call it a ferry, but it's really not a ferry. It really is it's kind of a mini cruise ship, you know, that's going from island to island.
So pretty big.
Yeah, pretty big.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
All right. But it was like kind of rickety.
Yeah. Just dirty, dirty, but also, you know, the paint was chipping and you could tell that there was some wear and tear. You know, it wasn't sparkly new. It was definitely some wear and tear on this boat. It had been in the water for quite a long time.
What were some of the jokes you were making with your boyfriend at the time?
Yeah, it was, really just that this thing was a grime bucket. We were like, how is this thing going to go all the way to Turkey? And, and then again, just looking at the life rafts and going, wow, these things are so old. But, you know, of course, you're in another country. You don't expect standards to be the same as they are in the U.S. And so at that point, too, we're just going with the flow. We were pretty much living on a shoestring. Because we had sold everything that we owned. And we were just trying to, you know, do this really economically. So, kind of get what you pay for. So we were traveling along and the seas started getting pretty rough. Apparently in September, it's a really optimal time for some storms that come through on the Aegean Sea. So we started seeing about 20-foot seas. It's about 45-mile-an-hour winds. But we were almost due into port at 10 o'clock. So come 10:30, you know, I was just looking at our watch saying, you know, why aren't we, you know, no cell phones at the time. Just looking, going, you know, why aren't we pulling up? You know, why aren't we here yet?
What does a 20-foot sea feel like in a giant ferry?
I could tell you what it felt like in a life raft as we progress with the story. But yeah, it was rocky. You know, by all means, it was rocky. But we were sitting in the dining area and not really walking about the ship. Knew that, you know, we'd be, it would definitely be a little bit more challenging to walk, you know, about in those kind of, rough seas. But really it was, you know, we had just had expected to get in. We were looking forward to, it was 10 o'clock at night. We were looking forward to getting to the hotel. And then literally looking at our watch and saw the captain and crew. Well, the captain, first of all, was sleeping and the crew was watching soccer. So we did look at each other and say, I wonder who's driving the ship. And that was definitely a concern. We were like, boy, you know, the crew's all here. Is anybody driving this ship? Like, what, you know, later we found out that the captain was sleeping and it was on autopilot. And the crew was watching soccer. But, you know, we really didn't know that until after the crash. So, you know, about 10:30, I would say, you know, we felt what was like a train going through the ship. We hit, I want to say it was like a 10-story rock with a beacon on it. And this was probably like 2 miles out from sea where we were supposed to be coming into port. It's a huge rock, and everyone was like, oh, if you hit the rock, you know, and you're only 2 miles, how come you couldn't swim to shore? I mean, we were literally behind this mountainous rock, and so you couldn't even see shore. But the ship hit along the side, and literally as the ship kept going, because nobody stopped the ship, no one was driving it, it ended up ripping the entire side of the ship wide open. So, you know, we got thrown from our seats, hit the wall. And I remember standing up and just hearing, you know, pretty much like a sound of a train because the metal was just ripping through the rock. And instantly, I mean, there wasn't even a second to think. Instantly, the ship completely listed and the water was just rushing in. There was no saving the ship at that point.
That is terrifying.
Yeah. Yeah, it was. And, you know, even more terrifying is that the captain and crew ended up leaving. We were waiting for announcement. And it ends up that the captain and crew ended up leaving on the only motorized life raft that existed on the boat. So they pretty much left all passengers to die on the ship. So that, you know, you were waiting for an announcement, and everybody really was, everything was in Greek. Nobody spoke English, and there was no crew to be found on the ship. Everybody just like had to fend for themselves in this ship that was listed over with water pouring in at that point.
That's insane that they just left there.
They just left. Yeah. And you can see them just like taking off in the only motorized lifeboat. Yeah.
You saw this like with your eyes.
You know, just bounced. Reed, at that point, we didn't see anything, but we did see the motorized life raft when we came in. We were like, oh my God, that thing has a motor on it. Like, how did that get here? And then we had heard stories of, you know, that they did take off. And then later on,
apparently that one's for the crew.
Just for the crew.
And later on, we did find out that the captain was, you know, the captain and crew was arrested for manslaughter because they did leave, you know, everybody to die on the ship. So they were arrested. Yeah. The owner of the company ended up killing himself, throwing himself out of a building. And the captain and crew. Yeah. The captain went to jail. Wow. It was just an insane situation. There's a lot more to the story, but, you know, just gonna,
I mean,
let you know that we were pretty much fending for ourselves at this point.
As he should go to jail. That is when you say that, I got goosebumps. It's so fucked up. Yeah. So I'm on this ferry and I'm imagining that I'm sitting on the outside and I'm like, holy shit.
Yeah.
So he wakes up from his nap and he's like, gotta go.
The fuck? Yeah, exactly. Exactly. Gotta go. See ya. I must say, I'm going to tell you a really embarrassing story. So we ended up hitting, and I remember, you know, we were looking for life jackets, and all the life jackets were really old. And so they were filled with cork. So, you know, we knew that like the life jackets were not safe to wear because that's just, you know, not what you want to be in the water with. So, you know, put them on anyway, but everybody was really fending for themselves looking for life jackets. I don't think there were even enough life jackets. Ran out of the boat, holding onto the railing the entire way to see if we can get out on deck. And I remembered that my bag was in the boat with my brand new Skechers shoes that I had just bought, I had just bought 48 hours prior. So I was like, God damn, I am not leaving these damn shoes here. Are you kidding me? So I went back in the goddamn boat. Oh, I went back in. I went back in the boat. I literally, yeah, the water was literally rushing in. I held on to the railing, dragged myself back into a sinking ship, found my bag, and was ready to kind of capture my Skechers. And it didn't happen. I ended up slipping and falling, and like I had to leave my bag there. And yeah, I was dragged back to the outside. Like, what are you, freaking crazy? I still, to this day, I'm like, those must have been damn good shoes. I'm really upset about that, but I didn't get my shoes back.
Think about the last time you had to cancel a subscription. There's probably some waiting on hold, some guessing at your password, some mind-numbing small talk, and maybe after all that, you still weren't able to cancel it. Good news. It doesn't have to be this way. Thanks to Rocket Money. Rocket Money tracks, manages, and can cancel your subscriptions for you. When you connect your accounts, you'll see a complete picture of all your reoccurring subscriptions all in one place. Rocket Money organizes your subscriptions by due date and notifies you when something's coming up, so you'll never be caught off guard when you get charged. If you see a subscription you want to cancel, Rocket Money simplifies the process. Instead of waiting on hold for an hour, you can cancel it right from the app. Rocket Money will even try to get you a refund for the money you spent on subscriptions you forgot about. Stop wasting your time trying to cancel subscriptions the hard way. Make your life easier and go to rocketmoney.com/cancel. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. Or download the app from the Apple App or Google Play Stores.
Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com. That's chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Who dragged you out of there? Your boyfriend, I assume?
Yes. He was like, get the f- what are you doing? Yeah. Yeah. So
like, he must have,
he must,
yeah,
he must have liked me at the time. He must have liked me at the time because
he ran back into a sinking ship for you.
To be like, you got to get the fuck out of here. Like, what are you doing? Yeah. Yeah. But I did. I didn't get my shoes back. So yeah. So went out on the deck. And, you know, the boat was just sinking so rapidly. I think in total, we had about 20 minutes before the entire boat went down.
Wow.
It was definitely like the Titanic scene. So boarded a life raft, which you would think would be the smart thing to do. But it was actually one of the worst decisions we probably could have made. Because as we got in a life raft, now, first of all, I do want to call out that, you know, there were some people, especially elders, who were still waiting for announcements. You know, they couldn't believe that there were no captain and crew to kind of get them off the ship. So, you know, they definitely just sat in their seats, a little bit hopeless. And, you know, I do know that they, you know, most likely went down with the ship. There were people, you know, going to the top deck and just throwing children overboard, you know, just trying to save babies, toddlers. And so, you know, as the chaos is going on, just like the Titanic, I mean, there are, again, people just acting in desperation. But, you know, at that point, you know, there was really not much we can do because we had gotten on a life raft. And as we went to go deploy the life raft, it seized. So the life raft was so, the ropes holding the life raft were so old that the life raft ended up seizing and leaving us dangling as ferry was sinking on top of the life raft. So, yeah. And
I don't even know what to say.
We were swinging
like
in the wind.
It's like a movie.
It was see from the Titanic. Like, I don't know. Watch the Titanic and I'm like, oh, yeah, 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 done that, lady. I just didn't have the diamond necklace.
Right.
Yeah.
You had the shoes. But you had the shoes.
The shoes. I had the shoes. Yeah. Which is probably at the time better, more valuable than my damn diamond necklace. I was so happy about those shoes. So yeah, we, you know, this life raft, because of the winds, was swinging. So, you know, there were probably 20 people on the life raft. The life raft was swinging and swaying side by side, hitting the side of the boat just from the, you know, the gale force winds, and it wouldn't deploy. So people on the ship, you know, some of the Greek men on the ship grabbed a pocket knife and started to cut through the ropes to see if they could descend the boat and cut it loose. But we were so high up off the water that I knew if, you know, at that point they cut the ropes that, you know, we would, you know, we that would not be good. We would be dead. But there was no getting back in the boat and there was no jumping. Just because it was too far in either direction. We were pretty much seized there midway. You know,
so what, like 100 feet in the air?
No, no, not at all. Not at all. I don't know. It's hard to gauge how high. I could just say I think it was more the elements. That was the more dangerous part because as the ship was sinking, of course, it lowered the positioning of the life raft. So we were getting closer and closer to the water as the ship was rapidly sinking because it was sinking on top of us. The issue is that once we got low enough where the ropes were cut, we dropped down to the water and then the life raft sucked in to the side of the ferry. So the life raft created a suction. And so we could not separate the life raft from the sinking boat, and therefore the sinking boat was literally sinking on top of us. The boom that was carrying, the very heavy metal boom that was carrying the life rafts, because the life raft was lifting with the waves and the ship was sinking so rapidly with the boom attached, the boom was crushing people on our life raft, and we never knew who was going to get it, who was going to get crushed. So, you know, at this point, I was just listed off the side, you know, getting ready to jump into the water because we never knew until the boom, like, really came down, you know, as to, you know, who or how was going to get crushed or if it was going to go right through the life raft, depending on, you know, us rising with the water and the boat falling down. But there was nowhere we can go because the, you know, the life raft was suctioned to the side of the ferry. So we were kind of stuck there. Joy.
Nightmare.
Literal nightmare. You never I don't even know how you get out of
literal
that.
Literal nightmare. Yeah, well, you know, luckily there were some boys.
What was the amount of time from hearing that train, the water, to this boom situation?
That is a really
good question.
I want to remember that. I want to say we got in about 1 in the morning and we crashed about 10:30.
That's a long.
So about 2.5 hours.
Hellish experience.
For the ordeal. Yeah. Yeah. About 2.5 hours, I would say. So.
Okay. And what do you. What's going through your head? You're on this life raft. It won't deploy.
Yeah.
People are being crushed. You're witnessing them being crushed, like with your eyes.
Yeah. And, you know, we also, when somebody on our life raft had a heart attack. You know, he passed on the boat. I'll get into that a little further down the story.
I'd probably take that over the boom.
I know, just a quicker way, just a quicker way to go. Yeah, for sure.
You know, rather than crushing, maybe. I don't know.
I'm just going to close my door a little bit more. I'll be right.
Okay. You know, the crazy part is that, you know, when we crashed, there was somebody at the Port Authority who was standing guard and who usually watches the ship come in. When he saw that the ship had crashed, he set off a flare from land. And this flare went off and then he had a heart attack and died.
Oh my God.
And so the flare went off to alert the townspeople to alert, you know, the Port Authority, I mean, is basically off in September. If you ever travel to the Greek islands, you should check out like when the Port Authority like takes off, when their season ends. But their season was ended. And there was one guy in the Port Authority, shot off the flare, had a heart attack and died. And so now nobody knew that we were out there. So the fishermen actually saw the flare. People came into the Port Authority to see why this person set off a flare. They noticed that he was on the ground. He was dead. But the fishermen did see the flare. And so local fishermen came out in those rough seas to try to rescue hundreds of people. And they had no business, I can tell you, being in those seas with, you know, that kind of vessel.
Oh, my God.
So that's an aside.
That's an aside. So the cars that were on the bottom, did they have people in them? Were there people in there, or it was just cargo?
I would say not. I would say it was just cars like getting to the different islands, but all the people were probably, you know, and I don't really know the answer to that because usually as you're getting ready to pull in, they allow people to go back into their cars.
Yeah,
I don't know. There's also lower level.
You can go.
You can stay.
I mean, 4 hours is a longer trip, but.
Right. And I do think that I heard something about like the lower level having like sleeping quarters. So I don't know if people were sleeping. I don't know. Like, you know, I really don't know the makeup of the ship. You know, at this point, you know, as I mentioned, we're suctioned to the side of the ferry. The ferry's sinking very rapidly. Just like looking up and seeing again people being thrown overboard, a lot of people in the water, you know, with or without life jackets, you know, just chaos everywhere. The people on our boat grabbed the oars and tried to break the suction, and they broke all of the oars doing so, but it did break the suction, and we were able to float away from the ship, which was. We thought great, but then we were in, you know, 20-foot seas in the Aegean Sea and being taken off to sea and in this life raft without any oars at all. So that was, you know,
just another thing.
What can you hear?
Gosh, that's such a great question. You're going to think I'm crazy.
Screaming.
You're going to think I'm crazy yet again. I think this is like crazier than my shoe story. Honestly, when I was on the ship, I really looked up at the stars and saw how beautiful they were. The sky was absolutely stunning. If you know anything about me, I'm glass half full. I'm like the most positive
like the
person
ship's going
in the world.
Down, the stars
and I'm like,
are
ship's
beautiful.
Going down, but whoa, look at this night. Like, you gotta
but
be
But like, what else
me.
Can you kind of do in that situation, too? You're like, well, the ship's going down. At least I have a nice view.
You know? I mean, I didn't have a cell phone, you know, to call anybody, but other people on the life raft did. And there was, honestly, the sound of cell phones, like, ringing all over the water. It was either screams or cell phones, but I think at that point I just kind of came out away from my body. I was kind of like up looking in, going, this really isn't me. This isn't happening. and I was really admiring how gorgeous the stars were in the night and just how absolutely beautiful it was out there to be like on the water. I don't know. That's what I remember. And I don't know, I spoke
mechanism.
To you about this, Jake, before, and you said you had like a similar experience too.
Yeah, like when I was locked in and a visitor who, you know, I didn't get many who came in that I cared about, I came out of my body and I had a view of myself in the room from a bird's eye view. So I can relate that, and I don't know if it's a kind of coping mechanism, maybe, or
shock.
Disassociation,
shock. Absolutely.
It seems impossible, though, to be able to do that, but you did it. I did it.
Yeah.
Two very different experiences.
Just, you know, you admire the beauty around you, and, you know, there were people grabbing on to the side of our life raft, you know, whoever could swim over. Obviously, we had no oars to go rescue people, and the sea was just taking us away. But there was, you know, a couple of people we were able to drag into the life raft, and it was awfully difficult to do that. I think everybody had hands on them. I remember there was one woman, you know, she was, you know, soaking wet, tired. It's very hard to lift somebody in from the water into a high life raft when somebody is dead weight. And also, again, we had some people who had perished, you know, on our boat. And so it was a very difficult situation, but we were able to, again, I think, rescue some people who were floating out and about in the water.
Was the water, like, what were the temperatures at that time of the year? Was it like freezing? Were people going to die of hypothermia? No,
I don't remember the water being cold. And, again, I think I was in shock at that time too. I think it was cool. The water was probably in its 70s, okay. I would say, at that time of year.
Not freezing.
Again, it was more the winds and the elements of the winds and the waves. I think that were the, you know, the true issue. Because we had no oars, as I mentioned, and so the ship was being drifted away. And it was so dark, and we were just like, there's no way anybody's going to find us out here.
Did you know which way land was at that point, or still really? No, you're just totally blind out there.
We're out. We're out. The ship went down.
It's terrifying.
Yeah.
And even if you did know where it was,
how could you get there? What do you do?
No oars?
You can't. Yeah. You can't get there. Yeah. You're behind a mountain. We were literally behind a mountain.
In our 20-foot swells.
Yeah.
So you're getting tossed around.
You're getting tossed.
Like a toy.
Yeah. Yeah. If you went to Paros, I mean, interestingly enough, we were interviewed by Dateline in 48 Hours, and 48 Hours was all excited because they were like, this happened within 48 hours of your trip, and so we're going to make a thing out of it. And they tried to make it like a romance story. And I'm like, this is not a romance story. I'm lucky, like, this guy, like, actually liked me enough that he didn't, like, just toss me overboard. Like, we're not going to make this a romance story. So, but anyway, we were interviewed by, like, Tom Brokaw and, like, Erin Moriarty. And, the interesting part is, Roger at the time was able to go back to Greece and meet the fishermen that rescued a lot of people. But if you were to go to Paros, you could actually see the ship under the water still.
Really?
So I don't know if anybody is on this podcast is visiting the Greek islands. And if so, I highly encourage you to just look out at Paros. You'll see this big mountainous rock with a beacon on it. You can't miss it. But beyond that rock, you may on a clear day even see the mirage of the ship in the water.
You really want to be better with your finances. You try to put money away in savings. You look for deals. You wrote out a budget once a long time ago. You still overdraft from time to time and you still have debt. The truth is managing money is not easy, but Rocket Money can help. Rocket Money shows you exactly what you're spending every month. From there, the app helps you make a budget that meets your financial goals. The app even gives you real-time alerts when you're about to go over your budget so you don't spend too much. With Rocket Money, you can also see all your subscriptions at a glance and cancel the ones you don't want right from the app. Rocket Money can even try to get you a refund for some of the money you wasted. Plus, you can use the Smart Savings feature to start putting more money away. Rocket Money analyzes your accounts to determine the optimal time to stow away cash without going over your budget. Our members report that the Rocket Money app saved more than $700 a year. Getting better with money doesn't have to be a pipe dream. Rocket Money can make it a reality. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel or download the app from the Apple App or Google Play Stores.
Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on chumbacasino.com. I looked over at the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's chumbacasino.com and live the Chumba life.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Yeah,
that's
which is
insane.
Cool. Yeah, yeah, it is. continuing on, drifting off to sea. And, you know, all of a sudden, we see some fishermen come with this boat, and they try to toss us a line, and the line breaks. So they turn around to circle all the way around to try to line up to us again to toss us another line. But we thought they were leaving each time because they, you know, turn that ship around and you're like, that's it. They're leaving us out there. They don't have any more ropes. How many ropes could they possibly have on this boat? And they toss us another line and that line breaks. And so they turn around again. And this is like a huge process every time. And they finally toss the third rope. And they bring us closer, but now they're trying to line up the fishing boat with the life raft. And the waves are doing this. And so how do you get people and bodies off of the life raft when you have a railing and you have, you know, the boats completely, you know, out of unison with each other? And so that was the tricky part. And I'm going to tell you another funny story.
Oh, no.
Okay. So we're in this life raft. The fishermen obviously like are busy. You know, they just want people to get the F in the boat. They're like, get the F in the boat. And of course, like, you know, I want other people to go first. So I'm like, you go ahead. You know, you first. And so finally, like, Roger was like, you need to get in that fucking, like, he's like literally took my legs and just like tossed me
you
in. And
go.
I think I like flew over the railing. He's like, stop. You know, you just got to stop letting everyone go ahead.
Yeah.
But so we ended up, I was bruised. You know, half our clothing was missing by the time we made it into that fishing vessel. When we did make it on the fishing vessel, one of the people who were deceased, we tried to do two-man CPR. And if you could picture this horrific situation where you have a fishing vessel, it was like a flat bottom fishing vessel, and there were survivors huddled in the corner of this fishing vessel, all just huddled together trying to stay warm. With life vests on, people are crying. And here is, you know, this body laid out on the deck. And I'm doing, you know, Roger and I are doing two-man CPR on this body in the waves, in the seas, with the survivors, you know, behind us. And it was just, you know, trying to do CPR, and this boat is just moving everywhere was... And the waves are splashing over the sides, and it was just this the most surreal situation like I think somebody could be in if they're going to attempt to give CPR. Needless to say, we were not successful. But the Greek tradition at the time was that the fishermen had garlic on the boat, and they smashed the garlic against the boat and put it in the man's mouth, and the kind of all over the face. And I don't know if that keeps away spirits. You know, I don't know quite the significance of that, but it was quite interesting to kind of see how, you know, their techniques vary quite differently from ours.
Yeah. Just so you know, only about 11% of CPR done not in a hospital setting is successful. It's very, very low.
No, thank you.
It's very,
thank
very
you.
Low.
I did not know that. I did not know that.
Yeah, it's a challenging thing.
Yeah. And now add in a boat and winds.
And in that situation, it's impossible.
And, yeah. And I had assumed that, you know, he had probably passed for, you know, quite some time by the time we ended up getting him on the boat anyway. But yeah.
Was that the guy who had the heart attack?
We're thinking yes.
Yeah.
We're thinking that was the person who had the heart attack. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. But
maybe you don't know at this point, but how many survived on your raft, and how many total survivors?
Yeah, so I don't know how many survived on our raft in total. I would say, again, among hundreds of people on the ship, when we pulled in to port, there was a survivor list. And there were only about 80 names on the survivor list.
Wow.
80 to 90 names. My take is they only claimed about 80 deaths in total. My take is that the numbers were super low to protect tourism. Mm-hmm. Just because a lot of, again, you know, the deaths that occurred were local. You know, they weren't, you know, out of country, mm-hmm. weren't tourists. So I don't know how those numbers got affected. But I can tell you that when we, the next day, there was nothing to do but watch body bags get loaded. And I'll tell you that story as well. But there were hundreds of body bags being loaded. And so, you know, I can't, if you do Google, you know, Express Samina, Greek ferry tragedy, you can see the story there on Google or on YouTube. And again, I think the claim of death count was around 80, but, you know, that definitely was not true.
There was probably a bunch of people that didn't find it.
Absolutely. Oh, absolutely. Yeah. And when, you know, when we got in, we pulled in, you know, with the fishing boat, and they were like, okay, you know, let's get everybody deceased off first. And we're going to get, you know, women and children off, and the townspeople just stormed the boat, and they're like, no, everybody out. And they put blankets over our heads because the media was there.
Oh, wow.
And they loaded us. So we had blankets over our heads. They loaded us into their personal vehicles. So I'm like, where the hell are we going? Like, who are you? I have a blanket over my head. I'm being put in a van and I'm being taken somewhere. Luckily, I was taken.
And kidnapped.
I'm like, okay, now I just survived. I just survived this. And now I'm going to be someone's like house slave for the next 30 years.
At least you'll be on a Greek island somewhere.
At least I love Greek food. And the townspeople were just so sweet. So I'm like, yeah, I'll just stay right here. But yeah, so, and maybe they buy me a new pair of Skechers.
There you go. Trip complete.
So they did take us to the hospital. And it was like the hospital was like a third world country. It was insane. I mean, they had no business treating anybody at the hospital. So at that point, we were just like, we got to get out of here. But it was, again, like 1 or 2 in the morning. We had nowhere to go. And the townspeople, I do want to call out the good-hearted people. It really shows you humanity. To get into a situation like this and have people open their hearts and their homes and their wallets, because, you know, they opened their hotel rooms, they gave free clothing, they donated clothing and food and just opened their shops, you know, because we had no clothes.
That's amazing.
And it was just, again, like this situation where you're like, wow, you could either, you know, take what happened and be like, you know, oh, I'm so mad that the captain and crew left, and, you know, this is a situation. Or you could really look at the other side and be like, how do people react in this situation? And really, you see that side of humanity that is just beautiful, especially in that culture, especially in that European culture. So
there was no, like, it was all the people. There was no government coming to help out.
There wasn't. The next day, the consulates did come, like the embassies. And so there was a big tent set up. And so when a tragedy like this happens, from what I learned, there's a big tent that gets set up. And every country has its own table and has its own. The embassy comes out, kind of claims its people. But there were only about, again, 5 or 6 Americans. And since my name is Italian, now I'm an Italian citizen, but back then I wasn't an Italian citizen. And so since my name was Italian, the Italian embassy came out to claim me. But awesome. I was like, I'm not going with you. I'm going to stay here.
So sorry.
So yeah. So there was no American embassy, just And it's funny, there was all the other countries were there, but the American embassy was not there just because I think there were so few Americans. And some of us were mistaken for citizens of other countries. So
that's weird.
Interesting.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's weird that they just look at the spelling of the last name.
I know.
And they're,
Yeah. Exactly. Right after the incident, I have family in Sicily. And so we were like, we got to get out of here. There's people throwing flowers in the water. There's no boats running because there's a bunch of bodies still that they're trying to, you know, recover from the water. So how do we get out of here? And so they're like, okay, we're going to put you on a puddle jumper and get you back to Athens. A 6-person puddle jumper.
I would want nothing to do with puddles.
Hell no.
Yeah.
So crazy part is we go to this warehouse and I'm like, this garage in the middle of Paros. And so we enter this garage. There's a small plane there. Board the plane. Like, we step into the plane. The captain or the pilot closes the curtain. The seats are like lifting and they're all like ripped up. And I'm like, okay, if they didn't kill us yet, like this is it. So I took a lorazepam and I'm like, here we go. I'm going to tell you a crazy story. As I was in the plane getting ready to take off, somebody approaches the plane and says, is there a Joanne, Mercaldi on the boat? And I was like, yeah, your mother's on the phone.
Stop it. Mom's calling.
Mom's calling.
Tracked you down.
Mom found me. I still don't know how she called somewhere in Paros, in this country, in this garage, where we're taking off on a plane, and my mother calls. And she's like, are you, so-and-so is meeting you in Sicily? My mom is like the grand planner. So she's like, okay, your aunt, whatever, is meeting you, as soon as you fly into Sicily. I'm like, Mom, I let us take off, So yeah, that was just, it's just typical mom is, mom will find me anywhere, I think. So that was sweet. But she, nobody
believed that. Good for mom.
Good for mom, right? Right. But as we were, as we were taking off on that plane, there were other planes next to us. And those were the ones, like, they were just loading body bags onto the planes just to kind of get them out. And that was just a scene to watch as we were taking off on that runway. I must say, before we did take off and leave Paros, we rented, there was really nothing to do, because there was just so much sorrow on the island and so much demise. And so we rented a motor scooter and just went up into the mountains and picked, I only know the word in Italian, picadini, but it's prickly pears. So that's the English word for it, prickly pears. Picked prickly pears and just really looked at the mountains and enjoyed the beauty around us. And, just really, again, taking it in, having a glass of wine, enjoying the townspeople. Was really happy to leave Paros. And I must say, I hadn't returned back to Paros in 20 years. I just recently, 2 years ago, brought my kids, told them the story during COVID. Sat down, watched at the time 48 Hours or Dateline. Discovery Channel had us on Cheating Death, and I'm like, "What? They're gonna turn on the TV, look at Cheating Death, and be like, why are you here?'"
Mom.
So I think it was time. I think it was time to tell them the story. And so when we did, brought them back to Paros and stayed right there on a hotel, looking out to the rock and the ship. Which was pretty awesome. And I thought it would be really difficult to go back. And I felt nothing but joy to be there, really appreciating life, really appreciating the people around us, and really appreciating Paros itself, the beauty of Paros, and really none of that tragedy kind of crept up, which was, it was just really, it was a beautiful time.
Yeah, that's amazing.
What did your kids say?
They're 16 and 13. So like, all right. You almost died on a ship. Okay, I think they really don't see the reality of it. Yeah, I think the reality really hasn't kind of hit them as to, you know, how catastrophic this really was. I mean, it was the worst, as they were claiming in the papers, the worst Greek tragedy in over a century. Again, as I mentioned, the captain was in jail. The owner of the company committed suicide. I mean, it was just a big to-do. The you know, company went bankrupt. And, you know, there were a lot of people suffering for a very long time, a very long period of time after this had happened.
Yeah, it's devastating.
When did the crew get put in jail?
It was immediately after.
Yeah.
We were getting some updates and just watching the news and the newspapers, and it was a pretty big to do. We couldn't even come home because the newspapers were all over. I had lived in New York at the time. And so the news ended up showing up at my house, and my Italian grandfather answered the door, didn't speak a lick of English, and saw the news cameras, invited them into the house. And the news was like filming pictures of me. And I was like, what is happening here? My mom comes home. She's like, he's like, oh, let
just
these people
in. Just being a good host. Yeah.
Asked to see. And I just showed the pictures. And so, yeah. So I was like, all right, maybe it's not time to come home. So after the tragedy, we did stay and travel around Europe for 3 months on the Eurorail, completing our trip, enjoying wine and good food and good life, because that's what we should do, I think, all the time.
Yeah. That's amazing. Definitely. That you guys still went and did that. I can totally imagine not wanting to go home to all of that.
I think that would have been worse is, you know, if we just came home to the news and, you know, just following everything that was going on, I think would have been a lot worse. I think it was just a lot better to say, you know, what could you learn from this situation? How could you really appreciate what's around you and take it as a lesson? And so, yeah, I think it was a lot better to do that, especially in a country that was new and exciting. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I had family all over Sicily, so it was really amazing to see them again, to see all my cousins and get to hang with them, and so it was really special to be able to go there. But, we were pretty sick. We did get bronchitis or pneumonia or, you know, something like that, mm-hmm. and so that was definitely tough, you know, for the next couple of weeks after.
I bet. So during this whole crazy ordeal, did you have any panic at any time, or like, I'm definitely gonna die, or feelings like that?
It's such a good question. I'm pretty calm. I'm an occupational therapist by trade, and so I used to work in ICU. I would say, you know, I was extremely calm during the whole entire situation. I'm very much, even still today, I take things for face value. And so I think, you know, I'm very much, I operate in the minute. I operate right there in the moment. And so, you know, during the tragedy, as things were happening, I think I was able to keep pretty, except for my shoe situation, I was able to keep pretty calm. Well, logic went out the window there. No, maybe. They were great shoes. And so I was able to, I think, keep, you know, a pretty clear and straight head on and just say, okay, what needs to happen right now in the minute? How are we going to survive this? And again, I think a lot of that is, you know, your body's in shock and your mind's in shock, and it kind of takes over for you as well.
Yeah.
As you know.
Yeah.
When your furnace or air conditioner quits, you need it fixed fast. This is Dennis Sullivan, president of CARE Heating and Cooling. Our technicians are paid to fix your HVAC system, not sell you a new one. We show up on time, diagnose the problem, and get you comfortable again, without the high-pressure sales pitch. It's our commitment to honesty and craftsmanship that helped us win the Lennox Partner of the Year Award and a BBB Torch Award for Ethics last year. So, call CARE Heating and Cooling at 1-800-COOLING or book an appointment online at careheatingandcooling.com. When you need a company you can trust.
Okay, it's kind of embarrassing how bad I am at budgeting.
Let me see your charges.
Ugh, fine.
You spent over $600 on takeout last month.
I can't cook. You know this.
Yes, I have had your disgusting food, but you're literally paying for a meal subscription on top of that.
Whoa, wait. That can't be right.
Look, just get Rocket Money. It shows you all of your expenses in one place and even tracks your subscriptions. And if there's a subscription you don't want, which for you, there are a lot you don't need, you can just cancel right in the app with a few taps.
So you mean I don't have to call anyone to cancel?
Nope. No hold times or anything. And they'll even try to get you a refund on some of the months of wasted money, which is a lot of money for you.
Okay.
And if you thought I was done, I'm not. The app can also help you make a budget that works for your income. Anytime you get close to your spending limits, it alerts you, so you know exactly where your money is going at all times.
All right, I'm in. What do I have to do?
Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel or download the app from the Apple or Google Play stores.
You just go into survival mode.
I think Skechers should...
Yeah.
Give you like
I do
1,000 pairs for surviving this.
I mean, maybe they'll listen to this podcast and I'll get like a surprise Skecher like delivery in the mail. That would be, how cool would that be? Right?
I'm surprised. Can we tag that you lost on the ship?
I think so. I think we should tag.
Rebrand it.
Yes. We're going to rebrand for sure.
For sure.
Maris, it's okay. It's all right. Things
it's just
happen.
Like such a weird thing that that's what your mind goes to. It's like, well, the ship's going down.
Yeah.
I better go get those damn shoes. I'll be damned if I lose those shoes.
They were platform shoes and they were like $40 at the time. I was like, we were living on a shoestring. I was like, those shoes are $40.
I need those.
They're brand spanking new. Oh, I didn't care about my ID or anything else or money. I was like, I need these damn shoes. So yeah. And the boat did go down very fast.
Yeah, that's wild.
With my shoes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
How long do you think it actually took for the boat to go down?
About like 20 minutes.
20 minutes. Yeah, so 20 minutes. And then it was you guys went out, you came back in,
it was
you went
gone.
Back out, you got on a boat, and you were like sinking with it.
By the time we separated the suction from the life raft to the ship, it just sunk so fast. I would say it was probably 10 minutes from there that the whole boat went under.
Yeah, and the whole boat's under. There's like no bit sticking out. There's nothing.
Nothing. And it literally went, you know, down to the side, straight up and
down,
you know, and right down, just like in the Titanic. Yeah.
That is so crazy.
Didn't break in half, but it was, just to watch that was insane. Cause you get all these bright lights from the boat and then next thing you know, it's just, they're gone.
Mm-hmm. And you said like the suction, people in the water probably got sucked down.
Absolutely.
Absolutely. And even that vacuum, you know what I mean?
Absolutely. And to watch people jump from that high point, the bow of the boat is just
something. Were they surviving jumping that?
I would say probably not.
Yeah.
Just because the seas were so rough.
Yep.
But you know, the hard part was, you know, that they were throwing children and babies in, and I could only hope that they were throwing them to somebody who was catching them on the other side. And that's
hopefully
the only thing I could hope for and think of, otherwise.
Mm.
Yeah. Yeah.
Desperation. That's so crazy.
Yeah.
It's really crazy that people like stayed in their seats.
I know. And they just waited. Yeah. They just waited. I think that was it was just the saddest part. Cause, and again, you don't know what's going to happen. You're like, oh, something, the boat's not going to go down.
Right.
You know, somebody's going to come out, the Coast Guard, where's the Coast Guard? It's going to come, you know, and then all of a sudden you're out and sea and the boat is gone. And you're like, there were people on there just waiting. And and you realize that, you know, the captain and crew are gone and it's just, everything just happens in the moment. So it's, you know, there's really not a lot of time to think at that point.
Yeah. 20 minutes is not a lot of time.
No.
Especially with all that going on.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Yep. But I hope this doesn't prevent anybody from touring the Greek islands. I mean, I would hope that the standards are a lot better.
I'm sure things changed after that.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Just people need to be vigilant, you know, really look for your life jackets. Look to see where, you know, your lifeboats are. I do now, you know, we did take a ferry, you know, into Scotland. And I always, you know, when you take those ferries, they actually lock you in. And I was like, well, what do you mean they'll lock in the doors? Like, yeah, Yeah, they no. actually like, there's a code to get out. There's no, because the seas are pretty rough. So you can't go outside and you're actually locked into the boat. There's doors that close and you do not. Yeah. So, yeah, that was terrifying. But, you know, I always tell my kids now, I'm just like, just, you know, you really got to just be vigilant, you know, understand what's around you, understand, you know, when they do the safety announcements, pay attention because you never know when you're going to need them. But yeah, you know, now when I get on a boat, I definitely look to see where the life jackets are and the life rafts. But sure I can't say I'm afraid to take a boat. I have a boat.
I was going to ask you that.
Yeah, I do. So you yeah.
still boat.
I still boat. And okay. I row a lot of boats. And so I'm on the water all summer. Yeah. But I do have, you know, a motorboat as well. So I'm not, yeah, I have no fear of boats. And I've taken plenty of, I actually went on a cruise and nobody ever thought I would go on a cruise. But it was like Summit by the Sea. It was Richard Branson's like boat to his island in Bimini. And I'm like, I'm there. I'm like, nothing's going to stop. Are you kidding me? Nothing's going to stop me from doing this. And you know, my partners at work were like, how is she going to do with this thing? And I must say the boat started and I was a little like, oh, I don't know, guys. And it was fine. I slept fine. And I was happy to, you know, get off at Bimini Island when we finally got there. But I actually did better than I thought on a cruise ship. I don't have to go back on one, but I'm
you
glad.
Did it.
I will never go back on one. I could say that's just not my thing anyway. I'm more of an adventure on my feet kind of person. But I'm glad I did.
So crazy.
My last final question for you is, before you got on that ferry to when you got rescued and back to land, did you change?
That's a really good question too. I think my appreciation deepened. I must say, as I mentioned before, I've always been, you know, a pretty positive person, pretty in the moment person, pretty grounded. I would say that has stayed the same, but my appreciation for empathy, I would say humanity, the ability to give to others and be kind, definitely has carried over in regards to this experience.
That's beautiful.
How could it not?
Yeah.
How could it not? Yeah. That's right.
Makes total sense.
Absolutely.
That's awesome. I don't think that's unique for people who go through something crazy to feel that.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe it is. I don't know. We should do a poll.
Yeah.
But
good idea.
I think my goal in life is to get people to have that perspective without having to fucking deal with a nightmare like that.
Yeah. Yeah. Sometimes that perspective comes the hard way.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah.
Sometimes you can't get that perspective without going through something hard.
That's right. That's right.
Okay. It's kind of embarrassing how bad I am at budgeting.
Let me see your charges.
Fine.
You spent over $600 on takeout last month.
I can't cook. You know this.
Yes, I have had your disgusting food, but you're literally paying for a meal subscription on top of that.
Whoa, wait. That can't be right.
Look, just get Rocket Money. It shows you all of your expenses in one place and even tracks your subscriptions. And if there's a subscription you don't want, which for you, there are a lot you don't need, you can just cancel right in the app with a few taps.
So you mean I don't have to call anyone to cancel?
Nope. No hold times or anything. And they'll even try to get you a refund on some of the months of wasted money, which is a lot of money for you.
Okay.
And if you thought I was done, I'm not. The app can also help you make a budget that works for your income. Anytime you get close to your spending limits, it alerts you, so you know exactly where your money is going at all times.
All right, I'm in. What do I have to do?
Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel or download the app from the Apple or Google Play stores.
Step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm gonna make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you wanna get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of The Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play The Godfather, now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
before we wrap up, do you have a question for me?
No. Well, for you, I'm just really glad I think Aiden had set us up to meet because of this story. And I think from that, you know, I'm just really appreciative of our friendship. It's just been a really fun ride with you, Jake. And even just seeing you outside of this at some events, following your journey on social media, following your podcast, Blink, and just seeing all the great things you've done with the accessibility within Boston. I think it's, you know, you're really a tremendous person to know. And again, another positivity of this situation is that I get to meet you and people like you. So just really in awe of your story and everything you've gone through. And so I love the fact that you're bringing out other people's stories to light. And you're just a special person all around.
Thank you so much. Thanks so much.
Step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm going to make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you want to get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of The Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play The Godfather now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
I always had a private doctor. I didn't think I needed VA care. Then I learned VA is ranked above private care systems nearby and costs less. I'm getting the best care of my life with providers trained to treat veterans. Get what you earn. Visit choose.va.gov.
Not all veterans are eligible for the type or amount of benefits mentioned here.
Okay, it's kind of embarrassing how bad I am at budgeting.
Let me see your charges.
Ugh, fine.
You spent over $600 on takeout last month.
I can't cook. You know this.
Yes, I have had your disgusting food, but you're literally paying for a meal subscription on top of that.
Whoa, wait. That can't be right.
Look, just get Rocket Money. It shows you all of your expenses in one place and even tracks your subscriptions. And if there's a subscription you don't want, which for you, there are a lot you don't need, you can just cancel right in the app with a few taps.
So you mean I don't have to call anyone to cancel?
Nope. No hold times or anything. And they'll even try to get you a refund on some of the months of wasted money, which is a lot of money for you.
Okay.
And if you thought I was done, I'm not. The app can also help you make a budget that works for your income. Anytime you get close to your spending limits, it alerts you, so you know exactly where your money is going at all times.
All right, I'm in. What do I have to do?
Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel or download the app from the Apple or Google Play stores.